I want to go to Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, verse 19. This is one of the scriptures we used in TNC years ago. Some of you might remember that. And it goes like this. It says, "Therefore, says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, on their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them." Now, if you look, you're looking at the screen there, and it says, so if you see, if you return, that word return is shub, best I can come up with. S-H-O-O-B is how they translate it, but it's the Hebrew word shub, and it means to return. It means to be restored. It means to be to turn about. It means to come back around. And then you go, so if you return, and that it really means turn, you know. It's just like Lisa was saying, the Lord is with us all the time. He's walking with us all the time, but once in a while you just got to turn and look at him. Man, he's there all the time. And it is so good, to use your imagination and have some freedom. I'm amazed how people can be so courageous to stick needles in their body and, you know, take in toxins that could kill them, you know, in so many different ways. And they're so courageous to do all kinds of things. And yet you say, well, just imagine God walking with you. And then, oh, I can't do it. And it's just like, what are you, big chicken? Use your imagination. Turn to him. And he'll turn to you. And talk to him, and he'll talk to you. And so then we go, if you return, then I will restore you. And the word restore is the same word, shub. If you turn to me, he says, I'll restore you. I'll turn you back. I'll redeem you. That's the message, I think, today in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? I'll redeem you. I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back to you know, and there's several things if you look at that, but I'll bring you back to the wholeness that my original plan was for you. You know, God's plan for us, God had no plans for any of you or any of us to be born with disease, born with frailty, born. His plans for us are always good, and good is good. It's not a mixture of not so good trying to be good. His plans for us are good and perfect. And he just said, I'll return you back to the original. I like to think about that. I'll return you back to the original plan. I remember that young man I met about a year ago sharing his testimony about cerebral palsy, I think he had, or something, that he couldn't control himself and all that. And when the Lord appeared to him when he's about 22 and just said, I did not give you that. I think that's really powerful that we hear the voice of the Lord say, I did not put that on you. And he said, I'll restore you back to what I originally created you for. And then if you go clear back to the beginning, God created us to walk in fellowship with him, walk in power and walk in authority and take dominion over the earth and rule the earth. And so that's, he also returns us back to our original place where we are supposed to stand in authority and that. So I love that. If you return to me, I'll restore you. If you shub, then I will shub you. Before me, you will stand. And again, we've talked about this a lot. It's so important for us to understand that we stand, which means a place of authority under him, but not down on the ground, not kneeling and saying, oh, great king. He says, I've restored you back to your rightful place. Stand before me. And he said, and then he goes on to say, and if you extract the precious from the worthless. What a powerful statement, I think. How, you know, what a mandate to us. For years, all of us are trying to do this. Every day, you and I have to make decisions and separate that which is precious and that which is worthless. And part of that's just your priority list of what you're going to do in the day. I don't want to pick on anybody, but obviously we got to pick on somebody. Keep the tradition going. But, you know, when you it's a great thing to have your dishes done and put away before you leave the house, but if you can't leave the house until your dishes are put away, you might be needing to extract the precious from the worthless. If you don't have time for your kids because I think I said enough. This is a big challenge for all of us because the word if is in there for all of us. We might or we might not. But if you extract the precious from the worthless, then you'll become my spokesman. And that again means you stand there, but you'll be the mouth of God. And when you speak as if they are the oracles of God, because they are, because God's inside you. And literally, you begin to speak His word, His truth, and that word will always create whatever the word is. It will always produce a harvest. And you become my spokesman. Now, we're going to go now to that same verse in the Amplified Version. And it says it this way, "Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah." And this is a story, I didn't prelude this, but this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been a voice to try to get Israel to come back to the Lord. Jeremiah is one of those books that challenges me a lot. I've been in it a lot. Its message is rough, because in this book, God begins to share how extremely disappointed and how much he disrespects, as Greg Johnson said, I don't like that word, what they were doing. And just in the first of this chapter, he just says to, he says, if Moses and Samuel comes and prays for you, I'm not listening to them. That's an interesting statement for God, I think you ought to make. He's saying, you know, in other words, God's putting some high value on Moses and Samuel and just saying, these guys are, even if they came to me and said, have mercy on him, he says, I'm not changing my mind. What an interesting thing when you think about how God. Now, I say this with hesitation because there's so many people preaching and teaching and telling people, God is so frustrated with you. God has given up on you. God is done with you. And boy, I tell you what, you got to understand that he can get to that point. He does get to that point, but you have to work a long time to get him there. It wasn't just like a few mistakes that the Israel made. This is talking about generations that had just absolutely... Yeah, and in the book of Jeremiah, I'm trying not to go there too much, but you do need to kind of understand. One of the things he said, he said, I'm done with you. You're going to just die in the streets and nobody's going to clean you up. I mean, he's really rough. He can't get rough. And they said, what have we done so wrong? And you know, this is what's really interesting. He said, you won't listen to me. He didn't say, well, you're worshiping these idols. I mean, that's brought up. But he said, here's the problem. You are stubborn in your heart, and you will not listen to me. Well, I know he's not fed up with us because he put all that on Jesus. All the wrath of God has been put on Jesus. You and I will not experience it from that standpoint. But it does behoove us to think about that, how important it is. Because already this morning, the Lord's been ministering to us how important it is that we listen. And part of listening is not just hearing it. Part of it is just like when you talk to your kids or talk to your wife, you know. It's always interesting when you said, are you listening to me? And they quote you back, word for word, you know. Okay, you did. But that's not the point. The point wasn't just that you heard what I said. The point is the word listening actually goes to the word faith, which goes to the word obedience. It's hearing and being persuaded enough to act on what was said to you. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing the word, and then it's that faith has to come to a full point of persuasion to where we act on it. Because we're fully persuaded that He is good, and that what he tells us to do will work. So it goes on to say, if therefore you, he says this to Jeremiah, if you repent and give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity. Now, I don't know where the Amplified came up with this Amplified words, but I really like that picture. It's not saying, "Boy, you're just a horrible person. You got, you know." It's just saying, if you would repent, if you turn around from this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity. Is that not what Jody was sharing about this morning? You get into a situation and you just go, "Oh, fada, I guess we'll just have to put up with this," or, you know, whatever. Just that slight mistaken attitude of despair and pity. I guess probably it burns in me because I have to deal with it a lot. I had a guy come to church for probably about 3 years. They actually poured some of the concrete out on the old building, not the new one. And he was a contractor, and he went to one of our guys in the, you know, that worked in a lumberyard once, and he'd been coming about 3 years to our church, and he just said, "Does Pastor John ever have a discouraging day?" And the guy just laughed. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Well, he sure doesn't look like it." And I've thought about that so much. I thought, you know, people really don't know, do they, what we're going through? When you look out and you see people, you know, some people look so confident, so good, so everything's together, you get almost jealous of them, you know, and then all of a sudden you meet them and you get with them. And some of them have so much money they don't know what to do with it. And it's just like, "Oh, boy, if I had that, I'd be so happy." And then you get... But then so when you get close to them, all of a sudden you find out it's not the way you thought it was. And then there's others that you think, "Man, that's a poor person. They just have everything going wrong for them, and they just, nothing's, no, you know, their family rejects them and all that." And you get with them and you find out they're some of the most content, happy people in the world. They have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You and I don't know what's going on in anybody else's life, even your husbands, your wife, your kids. And half the time we don't know what's going on in our own life. Unless the Lord shows us our own heart, we can't really see it clearly. This is something that touches me a lot because I don't go down the tubes. I don't fall apart like a, what did Andrew always say, a $2 suitcase. They're very seldom that you'll find me now just collapsing and crying and I give up and I quit and it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I don't know why. It just doesn't happen. But this mistaken tone of despair and self-pity does happen to me. I just get this feeling. And tell you the truth, I hate it. Which makes me even despise it even more, which makes me even more discouraged. I get so disgusted with myself. If you, shub, repent, and give up. Now, that's an interesting statement there, too. And to acknowledge this is one thing. I've got this slight little attitude of mistrust and despair. And he says, you know, first of all, I acknowledge it. But once you acknowledge it, guess what? You can give it up. It's yours. You've now acknowledged it, it's yours. You've claimed it. That's okay. But you can claim things and not give them up. Or you can give them up. You know what keeps people in despair and all that is they don't think they can give it up. They think it's them. Sometimes we've had sometimes we've had ailments or whatever else so long that we just claim that it's ours. We think we are actually sick. That's part of us, and that's a, you know, and part of this turning around is saying that's not me. That's not what God gave me. This has been injected into me from someplace else, and I want to acknowledge it. I'm sick. I've got this disease or whatever else, but I want to return to the Lord and give it up and send it away. And folks, that's our job. You know, a lot of times you hear people praying, Father, just take this away from me. Just take this away from me. And they, you know, and there's times you just got to fight in prayer until it's gone, okay? Don't ever get discouraged because you're in a battle. Don't ever say, I must not have any faith because I'm praying and nothing's happening. No, you're in faith because you're praying. Just stay with it. Don't think it's not working. It's working down deep in the heart, and someday and it will manifest out in the outer body. But there's also times where we're actually just holding on to an identity that this is us, and we're saying, God, take it. Isn't it interesting when Paul said this thing was, this thorn in the flesh came to him, and, one Sunday school teacher said, well, that's because Saul was on a donkey and got bucked off, and he got this thorn out, in a bush. Ah, boy. That's why we try to give our best teachers to the young people, because don't mess them up. But anyway, it was a messenger of Satan is what the Bible says it was. And frankly, it was just a demonic force that was following Paul wherever he went, just stirred up trouble. Everywhere he went, there's some Jewish people that stir up trouble. And Paul says, take it away. He said, 3 times I asked him to take it away. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. And if you look at that in context, grace, charis, the word charis, he says, my power is made perfect in weakness. And what he's saying is, grace and power are the same thing. He's describing the same thing. So he's saying, Paul, you keep asking me to take this away from you, but you got to give it up. You got to get rid of it. Not me. I gave you the grace. I gave you the power. I gave you the authority. You're the one that has to demand that this thing leaves, not me. Kenneth E. Hagin said that there was a time the Lord appeared to him about 3 or 4 times in his life. Hagin, if you have never heard him, he's gone to heaven, but phenomenal story. But anyway, he said that Jesus came to appear to him once, and then he said as Jesus was talking to him about things that he needed to change or needed to work on, a little demon got there like a little dog and was just barking, making a big racket. And Hagin said, I could not hear what the Lord Jesus was saying to me. Jesus kept on talking to him, but he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying because of the racket of this demon. And I was, when I first heard that story, I was going, man, what in the world is up with that? If there's anything I want to do is I want to hear what needs to be said. You know, my grandfather had a dream once in his latter part of his life. I went to get him to go to church one morning, and he said, hey, John, I had a dream last night. I said, well, what was it? He said, I can't remember. But it was a dream from the Lord, because he had other dreams that he did remember. And he said, I got up in the middle of the night, and he said, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Did you ever hear this story? I was probably about 16. And I started hanging around my grandfather. And he said, I wrote it down on a piece of paper because I wanted to remember, because I know the Lord spoke to me something that I spent an hour. We finally had to go to church. Every book in that bedroom he had, I went through every page of it. I went under the bed. I found things there no man should ever know. I never did. We came home from church. I hunted again. We never did find that. I never got to know that dream. Hallelujah. So when I heard this story that the demon was making noise, so Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying, it just fired me up. And finally, he said to, I can't remember exactly the details. I think Hagin finally said something to the demon. But anyway, at the end, Hagin said to Jesus, I couldn't hear what you're saying because of that demon. He says, and I couldn't do anything about the demon because I left the earth and gave you the authority. And Hagin was saying, why didn't you shut that demon down? Jesus said, I don't have the authority. You do. I'm in heaven now. You're down there. I gave you my name. I gave you my power. I said, go therefore, because I've given you all those things. If you don't resist the devil, it doesn't get resisted. You know, that's a whole different way of thinking, isn't it, than saying, oh God, please take this away from me. And he's saying, I gave you what you need to deliver you from those things. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Boy, I tell you that. I don't know about you, but that's like, woo, baby, we got to start thinking different. We got to get rid of some of this religious thinking that just, We got to step in. I've been preaching this for 40, 50 years, and every time I do it, I go, come on, John. Shub. Return to the Lord. And give up this mistaken attitude of despair and distrust, and take your rightful authority. You know, here's a thought. Here's a reality. You feel that prompting, and you got a real battle, and so you go, okay, I'm just going to do it. And you go, in the name of Jesus, I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And here's the thoughts in the background. Amen? I guarantee you, you're going to have them. If you don't, praise God, don't listen to me. But don't let me drop a CD in. But a lot of times it's like, boy, I'm going to look like an idiot now. What have he done? If I get bold in church and say, I'm the healed and I know it, praise God, and then I don't, you know, and then I die, what am I going to say to everybody when they come to heaven? I mean, actually saying this out loud kind of helps us, doesn't it? It's like, so what? Apologize when everybody gets there. I mean, it's just deal with this little sneaky little despair that's in an attitude in you. What? Which would you rather have? Somebody going out just laying there whimpering and crying and having pity party, or somebody that stands up and fights with everything they got, even and they get wiped out? Which battle is more? Which is better? And I say, fight, fight, fight. And God says, fight, fight, fight. And from Genesis to Revelation, He tells stories about fight, fight, fight. Told the prophet, you know, shoot the arrow, and he only shot three or something. He said, why didn't you shoot more? You would have whooped them. He said, then I'll restore you. I'll restore you to a state of inner peace so that you may stand before me. That you may stand before me and be my spokesman. Let's go to the next verse, back to the other. I'll get used to reading it up there. Then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. And though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. This is a word to Jeremiah. Okay, in context, this is the word of God to the prophet. And these guys were after Jeremiah. They were trying to hurt him, kill him. And he just said, if you'll return to me, Jeremiah, I'll restore you. You'll be my spokesman, and you will become a fortified wall. Let's go to the next verse, Chase. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the violent. Yeah, you know, if you're watching the news at all or whatever else, you're seeing a whole lot of chatter right now about the violence in America. And it tears me up. When you see one person's picture and find out somebody just shot them or stabbed them or tortured them or whatever else, and you see that picture, I don't know, it's just like, it's just so wrong. It's just so wrong. Like Greg was here, and it started off real fast with the first two boys out. It is a fallen nature. It is a fallen world. And the idea that come to Jesus and you won't have any more problems is just nothing but a lie. Come to Jesus and you're going to have more problems than you ever thought you could ever have. But He will deliver you from them all. And until we acknowledge the truth that this is the battle that we're in, we're here in the valley of the shadow of death, and part of the way to get victory is get it straight. You've got enemies, and they want you. They're drooling after you. Whether you want to ignore them or not, they're coming after you. Whether you're on fire or not, they're coming after you. Whether you like it or dislike it, they're coming after you. You might as well just pick up your sword and get after it, because that's what this life is about. I'll share more on this later, but not today. But this whole creation that we get to watch and look out there, I've just been enjoying. I got to admit, I don't know why, I'm just tickled, ministered to by seeing all the green at this time of year. I love it. Now, I really like a good harvest, but I tell you the truth, I told my wife, I said, man, I risked my whole life last night to bring in the harvest. I went down and got cucumbers, and there was buckets of them, and the mosquitoes were just meaner than snodgrass. But even our harvesting of the victory in this earth is going to be a challenge. We have enemies, and mosquitoes are one of them. I don't know why. So get your thinking and my thinking right. Acknowledge that we got this little distrust in God and despair and pity. But we can stand and we can speak and we can fight. And just because we're tired of it doesn't mean it's going to go away. And just because we go hide someplace, it won't go away. I know a lot of people that don't come to church because they're just weary of being with a group of people that other people have problems, and then they get to hear about them, and then they get to care about them, and then they just don't want to hear about it anymore. They got enough problems of their own, so they don't want to hear about anybody else's. And they don't want to feel bad anymore. And that's their prerogative. But if we return to the Lord, He'll redeem us. He'll empower us. He'll give us the power to speak. I'm not trying to be just a smart aleck, although it's kind of fun. But I'm giving it my best shot. I'm going to go for it. I've been going for it. I confess, there's moments I'm really weary. There's moments I want to say, please take this away from me. I don't want to do it anymore. And I know God to be merciful that if I drop the ball and when I have, I veer off, and then I return back to Him, and He always restores me, always accepts me. But the rules don't change. I still have to stand. I still have to speak. I still have to do battle. And God was talking to Jeremiah, but we can take this word for ourselves and say God is speaking to us. I was saying, I'll make you a fortress. I'll protect you from your enemies. And it's really not people that we're talking about. It's fear, depression, worry, wrong thinking, self-pity, temptations. He wants us to win. He understands. Bible says He understands. He went through it. He knows. He didn't fail, but I'm telling you, He's got a real heart for you and your battles. He cries with you. You know, when your child is fighting something, isn't there times as a parent you want to just say, God, give it to me and take it off of them? It's not legal. Won't happen. He feels that same thing. Jesus would take it from you. He'd take your place. He already did, though. That's why He went to the cross. He took your place. He can't do it again. Now we have to turn to Him, be restored, stand up. And I guess in closing, I just want to say, it's going to be a good fight. But it is going to be a fight. We can have sympathy for one another, tenderness, but bottom line, if I'm going to help you and you're going to help me, you're going to have to help me return to the Lord. And my dear friend Jimmy Bratcher one day, when the office was back here. My wife and I had gone through a major battle. False accusations. People coming after us. And he finally looked at me and he says, John? I said, yeah. You know, and I was like, yeah. Gosh, it's humbling to be stupid. It's humbling to be human, isn't it? I've heard more people say, well, I'm only human. I said, yeah, but you're also Holy Ghost wall-to-wall people. I don't mind you acknowledging the fact that you're human and you're going to make mistakes, but you better acknowledge the fact that you're also a spirit-filled, born-again, powerful person for the name of for the kingdom of God, too. Acknowledge them both, at least. And he said, John, you're wearing this like a heavy coat. And I said, yeah, I am. And I'm sharing this with you because words are powerful. And he just said, it's time to take it off. And he didn't even say it kindly. He did. Time to take it off. Time to get rid of it. Praise God. Let's stand. And I mean that. Let's stand. Father, we come before you right now and we come here to repent. We come humbly but boldly to Shub, to return and put our focus back on you. And we're saying to you, restore us. Put us back the way we were created in your image. Grant unto us now that strength, that grace that allows us to stand up and in power declare who we are in Christ Jesus. And take our swords out and do battle. We have enemies, fear, despair, sickness, disease, poverty, wrong thinking, wrong friendships. We stand up and say, we will be strong, we will be a wall, and we will be the mouth of God for this world to get delivered from all these evil things. And we take our rightful place now, Father, and I want to thank you. It's done, it's finished, we're standing, and we are the children of God in power. And anybody that believed in that just said, so be it. Or amen, either one. God bless you.